Mashiach.
You know, we went out door knocking yesterday and we ran into a fellow, Brother Michael and I. He said he didn't care whether he went to heaven or hell. It didn't make any difference to him.
Lord help.
So I want to sing a song this morning. Come to Jesus. If there's anyone in this building that's not know Jesus as their personal Savior, please, today's the day. Come and take him as your Lord.
Amen. Amen.
A miracle is waiting for you. Come to Jesus. He knows your needs right now. Won't turn away. He gave his life for all your sins.
Right.
He'll give you life that has no end.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
When you believe, you will receive. You ask it all.
That's right.
In trusting faith, you'll change your life, relieve your pain, your hurt, your strife. Take him as Savior. Come to Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
It's his desire for you to live your life for him.
That's right.
I now reach out to you. Accept his call, his welcome to come back to Jesus. Come to Jesus today.
Yes, amen. Amen. you so much for that and that exhortation as well. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29. Brother Brian told me that he preached on this not too long ago at the Her Heart Assisted Living. And one of the texts that we're going to look at, verse 13, but I want us to read verses 11 through 14, and I want to try to share with you a message, how to turn things around. How to turn things around. I do think in this text you'll see that exhortation. And so look at verse 11. He's just got through telling them about the 70 years to be accomplished at Babylon. He promised to visit them and perform a good word toward them in causing you to return to this place after this 70 years. And so now he says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into this place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this morning and especially the opportunity, Lord, to hear your voice and to be addressed by your Spirit, and Lord, to get some leadership and help in our own walk with you, our relationship with you. We ask, God, that you would give us ears to hear, Lord, hearts that would understand, and Lord, give us also courage to respond, and Lord, to do exactly what you want us to do today. Lord, help us to resist what the devil would have us do, to stay in a state of apathy and unconcerned, or just to postpone making a decision. But Lord, help us to be reminded that today's the day. Now's the time. If we're going to be saved, it has to happen now. If things in us will change, it has to happen now. And so, Lord, give us grace to respond to you like you have us to. And Lord, we do ask this for every single person in the worship service today, that each of us, God, would be addressed by the Spirit of God, and Lord, that you would help us to make the decisions and to draw closer to you today that we need to make. And Father, bless the preaching of your word all over the globe. Lord, tender hearts to the truth of the gospel, save souls, and build up your kingdom, Father. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Israel or Judah, I will refer to them probably as Israel, but Israel's already been carried away into captivity. Judah's the only nation really that's left, and they're in their final throes of apostasy. God has done everything that he can do to persuade his people to turn from their sin and unrighteousness, and yet they have still resisted doing that. And even in these last throes of apostasy, God still sends prophets. It's amazing that even here, God is still reaching out his hand in the final moments of the final hours and saying to Israel or Judah, "Come to me. Turn away from your unrighteousness and come to me and have a right relationship with me." And sadly, we read through Jeremiah and the other Old Testament passages, and we see they did not do that. They still would not come back to God. In fact, the warning that Jeremiah gave them in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20 comes to pass. Jeremiah says in that verse, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. They got to a place where it was too late. There was no more opportunities. They come to a time where it was just impossible because they have gone too far and would not respond to what God desired for them. And I want you to hear something now. Even at this point, when he carries them away into captivity, what is he doing? He's giving them promises. You see that? Even in this latest of hours, when a nation turns their back on God, God still holds out to this people promises of a return after a certain period of time and promises of what he will do for them if they respond to him. I like to think on the truth that God is a God of second chances, but the truth is he's a God of second, third, and fourth. He's just a compassionate God who really wants a right relationship with us, and he wants us to have every opportunity in the world to respond to that. His spirit will not always strive with man, that's absolutely true, but it's amazing how long-suffering he is with us, isn't it? It was getting too late for them, but still there was some hope. But I'm not saying that to turn and really get things back in a right relationship with God with anyone is going to be easy, because there's some things hard about being in a right relationship with God. I know the verse you're probably thinking of, Matthew chapter 11, preacher, verse 20 or 30, says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That is absolutely true. It is true. If I'm in fellowship with Christ and united with him and walking with him, I can handle most things in life. It doesn't mean the pain will be reduced because I'm saved. But it means he's with me and I can bear that time by his presence. But it's much easier to live the Christian life than it is to be out here in the world and live the hardships of the world. I never had to be afraid living the Christian life that I hear the iron bars closed yet in America. They may come a time that they'll arrest you for being a Christian, but not yet. Right? But you live in the world, you'll see the consequences of living in the world, and it's not pleasant. I don't care how much the devil lies to you about it. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Sometimes living the Christian life, it takes work. It takes effort. We don't like that. There's something in us that we want to kind of be, we want it easy. There's an old saying though, isn't it? You know, everything worth having is worth working for, you know. Nothing comes easy. There's an older saying, and it's found in Genesis, when man sinned, it said that you'd earn your bread by the sweat of your brow. You know what that means? It means it's going to take some labor, hard physical labor, to produce some food to put on the table so you have something to eat. Anything worth having takes effort. And maintaining a right relationship with God is not just open your Bible and let it shine and all you just feel because you open the Bible, you know. No, there are some things that you and I have to do in order for us to experience what God wants for us. And if we don't do what he would have us to do, then we're never going to experience that. A part of that is what Jesus said being a disciple is. How many of y'all know what Jesus said being a disciple is? Matthew chapter 16. And he begins that by saying what? Deny yourself. How many of y'all know, sometimes denying yourself isn't very easy. Alarm bell goes off. You're just wore out, just dead tired. What's some of the easiest thing to do? Snooze. You know, I just 30 more minutes. And you know you don't have the 30 minutes. It's hard to just go ahead and get up. My pastor used to say when he was a young boy, he learned something. When it was his job to stoke the fire in the morning so to warm up the house. And he knew when he got up, it would be cold. And so sometimes he'd lay there in the warmth of those covers and just wouldn't get up, just kept putting it off, you know. And he finally said he learned to do this. Count 1, 2, 3. And every time he hit 3, his feet hit the floor. And he developed that habit. 1, 2. Stop laying there. 1. Now listen, was that easy? No. We are to deny ourselves. And what's the next thing we're to do to be a disciple? Take up our cross. You think cross bearing is easy? You know what cross bearing is? Cross bearing is an added thing to self-denial. It's dying to self. It's when the world is laughing at you, say, Lord, apply that cross. Amen. Crucify me. Help me experience the death that I experienced with Jesus. Yeah. That's fine with me, the world. Not fighting back at the laughing world. Mm-hmm. Just saying, okay, Lord, use this to make me dead to self. And every other terrible thing you face in life, apply the cross to it. Amen. Persecution especially, but any other difficulty in life. What is that difficulty there for? It's to bring you to the end of yourself. And there is no real victory until we die daily. And you know what? All of us hate dying. Right? I mean, put us anywhere, we're going to scratch and dig and claw to survive. It's in our nature. And when Christ says to us, you're going to have to die, our flesh says, I don't want to die. Right. And that's why it's so hard sometimes to live the Christian life, because your flesh does not want to die. And then Jesus said, follow me. And then you start to be conformed into being more like Jesus every day of your life. Amen? And that's a slow growing process. I've never seen a man saved on Sunday night, baptized on Monday night, filled with the Holy Spirit on Tuesday night, and lived complete victory, you know, from Wednesday night forward. I've never seen that. Most people I've seen in Christian life grow, and then sometimes there's some dips, and then they grow, and there's dips, and then they grow. It's not always a steadily incline. We all face battles and conflicts and difficulties and problems, and even weakness of our faith at sometimes. My dad was called to be a pastor when he was 16. Now, if you knew my dad, you would never think that he had ever had any calling like that. He started preaching in his denomination, and God was using him greatly. He said they would go in a room and pray, and he said it would light up. The room would light just with the presence of God. He said there was nothing like it. And then he said, after a while, I was praying and God wouldn't speak to me and I couldn't hear God and God was nowhere to be found. He said, and I just quit. And I wish that Dad had a godly counselor thereby to say, listen, this is not odd. This is normal. You know what God is doing, Mr. Capps or Brother Capps? He's trying to say to you, don't love the lighted room. Right. Don't love the fuzzy feeling. Amen. Don't love the external. Love me only. And when the lights are shut off and the voice doesn't sound anymore and there's nothing but God, who else are you going to love but God? Amen. But nobody was there to tell him that. And he never got really in the pulpit ever again to preach. Even though God had called him to. In fact, a lot of his life was in bars and places that he ought not to be. And I'm trying to just, you know, speak bad of my dad, but that's just the truth of how things were. There were seven of us kids. Mom would load us up in the car and we'd go try to find what bar he was at some nights. Going from a room that's bright lit with the glory of God to a bar stool flirting with women that's not your wife. See, preacher, nobody can ever get there. Yes, they can.
Amen.
If they started wanting this external things and not wanting God, amen. So, preacher, what's the admonition here? First of all, we can turn things around by acknowledging God's will. He says to them in verse 11, "I know the thoughts that I have towards you, Israel. I want you to come back." I'm not going to leave you over there. You will return. I want good things for you. Can I plead with you today to recognize that God wants the best for your life? How many of y'all remember John chapter 10? Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. You're the sheep." Right? And he said, the reason that he came is that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He said, I don't want you just to live. I want you to experience the fullness of life, abundant spiritual life, not just existing. I want you to experience the spiritual things of life. Be filled with joy. Did he say he wants you full of joy in John 15? He said, I give you my joy, and I want you to be full of joy. Yes. He said, I want you to be fruitful. Yes. Right?
Amen.
And what you and I need to do is we need to acknowledge this. You know what the devil loves to do? He loves to lie about God. Yes, and say, God didn't care about you. God doesn't. God's not concerned about you. If he was, why isn't God doing this? Well, why isn't God doing that? If God really cared, he would do this. He's done all that he has to do.
Yes, he did.
How much more could he do than give his own son? You know what he says in Romans chapter 8 about that? Are you listening to me? He said, look, if I would give you my son, how much more shall I freely give you all things?
All things, he said. All things.
Does that make sense to y'all? If God would give his only begotten son to die on a cross for you, would not he also give you other things, the things that you need? Romans chapter 8. I think it's verse 32, something like that. I can find it for you. I promise you it's in Romans chapter 8. Is it verse 32? Okay. If I gave my son, I'll freely. If God is not giving you something right now, it's not because God's wanting to punish you. And what you need to do is realize that what God wants is for you to have peace. He said, the thoughts that I have toward you, by the way, can I say this to you? It's not just that he has toward Israel. You say, preacher, well, that's about Israel. It's not just what his thoughts are towards Israel. How many of y'all know he thinks about you?
Amen.
I know he thinks about me. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Because he's numbered every hair on my head. God created you so that you would live in fellowship with Him. That's what He wants. And listen, that's what He's working toward in your life. If you'll just yield to Him and let Him have His way, He will increase your fellowship with Him. But you're going to have to turn to Him and say, Lord, I know what You want is what's best for me. You know what the Bible said in John chapter 10 about your enemy, though, the devil? He cometh not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. Peter said this in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may take just a little nibble out of. Just bite off his leg. No. Consume completely. Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, I prayed for you. Said, Lord, why did you pray for me? Because Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. You know what that means? He wants to take off every little bit that's good. Are you listening to me? Every little bit that's good, and leave you nothing but a shell. That's what the devil tries to do with every man. He tries to take sap, every bit of goodness out of him, and leave him nothing but an empty shell. And what is a husk good for? Okay. Nothing but the fire. God's thoughts towards you are good and not evil, to give you an expected end. God wants what's best for you. He's not seeking to destroy you. That expected end is a future and hope. That's what God wants to give every one of us, a future and hope. Can I ask you what the world has to offer you, or the devil? Not future and not hope. Notice the second thing. How do we turn things around? By asking humbly for God's help.
Amen.
They're going off into Babylonian captivity. He said, over there, you're going to pray. And you know what he says to do? He says, call upon my name.
Amen.
Call upon the name of the Lord. Then shall you call upon me. What had Israel been doing? Who had they been calling on? False gods.
Idols.
Beelzebub. Molech. Ashtaroth. Any false god they could imagine. And he said, when you're over there, you're going to come back and return to the land. How? You are going to call upon me. It's amazing how much God tries to encourage you just to ask Him for help.
Amen.
Just to pray. Just to talk to Him. By the way, can I say this to you? You don't have to go into a private closet somewhere to pray to ask this. You can pray this prayer right now, silently in your heart.
Amen.
Lord, help me. Lord, strengthen me. Lord, teach me. Lord, direct me. Lord, show me.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
You know what Peter, sinking in the water, said? Lord, save me. You that are saved, it's still good. Lord, save me. I don't want to go down this road. I don't want to live this way. Lord, get me out of this mess. Lord, save me. Not in a salvific sense, but Lord, deliver me, rescue me, help me. Have you ever been there where that's all you could pray? I've been there many times. But all I could pray is, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. You know what? Oh, He delights to hear those kind of prayers.
Yes, He does.
That's a humble prayer. That's a broken prayer.
Yes, it is.
That's a prayer that God's ears have been. You know what he said? He would not despise a broken and contrite heart.
Yes, he did.
Call on him. Stop calling on yourself.
Amen.
You know our greatest idol? I believe our greatest idol is ourselves. We don't need God. We don't think that we need God. And so we keep trying to work things out ourselves and solve things ourselves and earn stuff and do this and do that. And the more we try to do this and do that and earn this and earn that, the more weak we are and frustrated we are and hopeless we are. Because we realize, I can't get nowhere this way. Can I say something to you in a loving way? You were never intended to get there that way. If you could get there that way without Jesus, what does Jesus have to do with your life? You would just end up worshiping you. You would write the next book. 7 ways to successful Christian living all by your own. You don't need Jesus to do this. I can show you. That book will never be written. If it's honest, you can't get from one inch forward in the Christian life without Jesus.
Amen.
You can't move forward without calling on the name of the Lord. He said, call upon me and you shall go and pray unto me and listen and I will hearken unto you. If I could leave an impression in your mind about God's willingness to hear you, I would leave the vision of the prodigal's father as his son's returning down the road and the father standing there waiting on the son to come home. You say, why would you do that? Because in order for that father to see that son come home that day means that father had to go out there every day many times a day, looking down that road, hoping and desiring that maybe he'd see his son coming back.
Amen.
And the Father has that same desire towards you.
Yes, he does. Thank you, Father. Glory to God.
Waiting to embrace you. That's what he wants.
Yes, he does.
God's not hiding from you.
Mm-hmm.
He's waiting to embrace you. And you say, preacher, how do I get that embrace? Lord, help me.
Yes.
When's the last time you really prayed? Just like, I mean, sincere, humble prayer. You know, all this stuff, this junk that we do when we pray is so sad. A lot of us are to start our prayers like this. Lord, I'm so dry. I don't feel like praying.
Amen.
I've tried to read my Bible. I can't understand it.
That's right.
Lord, I don't even feel like talking to you.
That's what you don't know.
Lord, help me. Help me.
Yes.
I imagine if we would start our prayers off a lot like that, sometimes the engine would start firing off.
Yes, it will.
And there'd be some prayers starting going up because
yes.
What is God wanting? Just honest conversation with us. Hey, guess what? You can't hide anything from him anyway. Remember last Sunday when he knows your thoughts are far off? Is that what Psalmist said? Before you even say it, he knows it. You might as well just say, okay, Lord, here's my thoughts. I need some help. I don't want to think this way. I don't want to be this way. You saved me for more than this. And then thirdly, by ardently seeking after God. The word ardently means passionate or enthusiastically.
Yes.
I know what you're thinking. You're saying, I don't have no enthusiasm in me. I don't have no like burning desire to seek after God. I think if you would just follow the biblical prescriptions that were given so often, you find that once you start, the match is lit again.
Yes.
When you realize how much God loves you and cares for you and wants better for you, and you start talking to Him, saying, Lord, help me. And then you start once again seeking who? God. Now, how many of us are distracted by that point? And by the way, can I say something to you as well? Sometimes we are frustrated because it's a half-hearted seeking. And you can only half-heartedly seek for a while. Right? And then one of the other loves are going to take over. Right? Jesus said, you can't love one without hating the other. And I tell you, I'm afraid that this is true with a lot of Christians. We want Jesus, but we want the jewels. We want the master, but we want money. We're torn. Lord, you are important to me. Don't misunderstand. You're very important, but have you ever did that yourself? Put that little but there. Lord, I really love you. You're so important, but Jesus went on occasion and said to some men, he said, listen, I want y'all to follow me. And they said, Lord, we would love to follow you. But I bought some land and I need to go make sure it's good land, but you already bought it. You're going to buy land without knowing if it's good land or not? Should have looked at it first. You know what I think that was? I think that was just an absolute excuse. Lord, I bought some oxen and you go try them. How many people do that? Don't you try them first? Make sure they're going to plow like you want to plow, or they just run off your ear? I think that was the excuse. And then one man said, Lord, I sure would love to follow you, but I'm married. I've got to pay attention to my wife's needs. I'm going to give that man a pass. No. Jesus didn't give him a pass, did he? It was an excuse as well. If you're going to take care of your wife, there's spiritual needs there. There's nothing greater you can do for your wife than get close to God. And he said, what I want you to do is I want you to seek me with all your... That doesn't mean that you're going to wake up in the morning and your heart's just going to be burning for God. And you say, oh, and all day long is, oh, you're praising God, worshiping God all day long. You say, oh, Lord. You say, okay, that's what it means, seeking God? No, it means that there's a steady pursuit after God and that your whole heart wants that. Now, even if you are not where you ought to be spiritually, I promise you this, if you ask yourself some questions, you'll say, yeah, that's right. And sometimes we fool ourselves, and the devil's really good at helping us fool ourselves. I know within my heart, even when I'm not where I need to be, I want God.
Amen.
I don't want to live without God.
No.
I want to know Jesus. I don't want to sin.
Amen.
I don't want to break the heart of my Savior. I don't. Now, preacher, are you seeking God with all your heart? I want to.
Amen.
And guess what the promise is when we do? We're going to find Him.
Amen.
What that means you're going to be up in the morning and maybe you just got through praying that little prayer. Lord, I don't even feel like reading my Bible today. I don't feel like praying or nothing. But... And then you start reading the Word and all of a sudden, whoa. I ain't never saw that in the Bible before.
That's right.
Yeah. What? I mean, what this verse over here said? Whoa. That does say that. Wow. And all of a sudden you're just taking notes and you're, oh, I can't believe it. and you say, Lord, thank you for showing that to me. And you leave that time with God delighted that you'd spend time with the Savior.
Amen.
Now, let's be honest. That don't happen every time we open our Bibles.
No,
right?
Amen.
But when you start seeking God with all your heart, I promise you this, there'll be more occasions like that than less.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
When God meets with you because He honors the pursuit of your heart, and that is Him. How you turn things around? Realize God is on your side. He favors you. He loves you so much He gave His Son to die for you. The thoughts that God has for you is heaven one day.
Yeah.
Being with Him forever. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Well, preacher, and then start talking to God again.
Amen.
Would you do that? You don't have to have a long conversation with Him. But you got to talk with Him. And by the way, please don't excuse praying over something or praying with someone as talking with God. You have to talk to God from your heart.
Amen. Take my yoke upon you and I will give you rest.
Humbly start saying, God, help me.
Yeah.
And then do this. Set your eyes on Him again. Start seeking Him.
Amen.
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 And let your whole heart seek after God. I promise you this, that'll turn things around. Amen?
Amen.
If you're here this morning and you're unsaved, you can take some of those same basic steps. Realize that God doesn't want to send you to hell. He wants you in heaven. God has what's best for you in mind. God never delights in sending anyone to hell. He wants every man to be saved. That's what the Bible says. Amen?
Yeah.
Won't you start talking to God about that? And then start seeking the Lord. And I promise you this, you too will find Him. Amen?
Amen?
Let's stand for prayer. Father, please help us this morning. Lord, You know us. Sometimes we get caught up with the things of this world so easily. It's like a flood's coming down the river, and we didn't even know it was coming. And then all of a sudden, we're on a log floating down quickly downstream. God, help us to be better prepared when Satan's attacks come, or when the world puts the pressure on us. Help us, Lord, to exercise some self-discipline and or begin to do those things that You would have us to do. Or please help everyone here today to remember that the thoughts that You have toward them are peace and good, fellowship with You. Help us, Lord, to start humbly talking to You. And God, please help us to seek after You. Lord, with all our being, help us not be distracted in any way, please, Father. Help those that need to come this morning, talk to You in this altar. Give them strength to come. And bless the invitation, please. Save the lost. And help Your people, Your children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's turn to 489. 489.